Welcome. Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we welcome those of you online watching this morning. We welcome you and invite you to take your Bible along with us and find Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. We're studying through the book of Matthew, and so we invite you to take your Bible and turn there, or your electronic device if you have one of those with your Bible on it. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and so this is the Beatitudes. We're familiar with it, and you've heard it before. Just want to go down the list and make some comments about this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about being poor financially here in this particular context. He's talking about recognizing the need for God, for him in all things. Noticing that they're destitute without God. And when we get to that place in our life when we can say, I'm destitute completely without God, that's when we become poor in spirit. And that's when we're able to see the kingdom of heaven, enter the kingdom of heaven, be a part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within us. That's when we start to recognize the spiritual nature of who we really are. It's when we say, I'm completely undone without God. And you know, for most of us, we had just a little smidge of pride that pops up every now and then, thinking that we're all that and then some, plus a slice of bread, right? And that tends to bother us. And we always are always having to take that into captivity, that little bit of pride. I should be the first person. I should be in a marriage, right? Oh, I should be the first. You know, he ought to look after me. She ought to look after me. And we do it in marriage. We do it at work. We show up in a workplace and why can't they see how important I am? And we need to walk in saying, I'm absolutely nothing without the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit ministering in my life to me and through me. And that's what Jesus is saying. You've got to get to the place where you realize you're not all that in a slice of bread. You're just not. Right? I am everything in you. I'm everything for you. And when we get to that place, then we're poor in spirit. It said, blessed those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Now, in this context, it's talking about people who mourn, are mourning for the Messiah to show up. In the Jewish context here, they were mourning. They said, God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to show up? It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Messiah did come. And he came into his own, the Bible says, but his own received him not. And so they came. Some received him, some didn't. Some rejected him, some are still rejecting him to this day. But for those of us who are born again, who are trusting in Jesus Christ, we also mourn for his next coming, right? The second coming, the rapture, whatever you want to call it. We mourn for that. I don't know about you, I'm ready. Today would be a great day, amen? Today would be a great day. And we see the demise of the world. We see things going around us, this craziness that's taking place. And there's some days when I read the news, it's like, Jesus, this would be a perfect time to come right now. Just come on. We know that time is still a little ways off. Nobody knows when, but it seems to be getting closer. And so we too can mourn. We can cry out for God. John said in John 16, verse 20, or Jesus said in John 16, verse 20, it says, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Your grief will turn to joy. There is coming a time when we are going to celebrate the return of Jesus Christ. Here or there in the air, we're going to celebrate. It's going to be a time of great joy. And our mourning will be turned into dancing. Our mourning will be turned into singing and shouting and joyful song. We will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, you've heard the saying, meek means strength under control. Moses was called a meek man. Jesus called himself meek. He said, I am gentle and humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He called us into that same meekness. Meekness is when we know who the power is and where the power is. And it's in our lives, right? The Holy Spirit working in our lives. We know that, but we don't lord it over people. We don't use it in a way to harm people or hurt people. Jesus was fully God. He was fully man. He had full opportunity to use all of his godness in this world if he wanted to. He decided to set it aside and say, I'm not going to use these things. Right? I'm not going to use these things. Bible says the song says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called a whole lot more than that to just wipe everything out. But he chose not to. Right? Fully God, fully man. But in this meekness, he says, yeah, I'm God. But I'm going to act as a human here. I'm going to live my life as a human before you. And we talked about that last week, why he did that. That's that strength under control. And we need to live our lives with strength under control. We need to realize that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God with full access to who he is all the time, 24/7. And yet walk in meekness in this world. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This thirsting is Jesus here is talking about a spiritual poverty, not I don't have a glass of water in my hand. He's talking about a spiritual poverty that leads us to hunger for his righteousness. Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We are called to this righteousness, that is this right relationship that we have with God. We enter into this relationship through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that relationship is maintained through the person of the Holy Spirit. We rely on him to teach us and guide us and show us and direct us. And we should hunger for that. I hunger for more righteousness. That should be a prayer. I hunger for more of who God is. I hunger for more of this relationship that I can have with him. It says, those who hunger will be filled. And that's the promise that God has given us. If you hunger for it, he's going to give it to you. It says in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew, if a child asks the father for bread, is he going to give him a snake or a stone? Right? Is he going to give him? No, he's going to give him what he's asking for. He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He fills us up. He fills us because he wants to. The fifth one says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Merciful, we think in day as compassion for others. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good to walk justly, right? To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. We are shown that we're to show mercy to people. Now, this only applies unless you're on Highway 24 going to work in Nashville. This beatitude doesn't apply there. I found that somewhere in the book of Hezekiah. I think it's chapter 13 of Hezekiah, verse 13. That says you don't have to apply mercy while you're driving down Highway 24. I'm kidding. Those of you watching online, you don't know what Highway 24 is, but just picture, I don't know, the worst traffic jam you can think of. It's a parking lot. Anyway, I won't go into that. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. There are times when people just need mercy in their lives. They just need us to come along beside them and say, I'm sorry what you're going through. Let me sit down with you. Tell me your story. How can I help? What can I do? Maybe it's nothing, but just sitting there with them. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart, what Jesus is saying here is to desire only what God desires for you. David cried out in Psalm 51:10. He said, create in me a pure heart and a new spirit. In Ezekiel, we're told in chapter 36 that God wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit within us. He wants us to have this new thing. So blessed are the pure in heart. When we think of pure in heart, we think of little Bellis back there, just a few weeks old, pure in heart. Didn't have a clue about this world. She just knows mom and daddy and brother. That's the pureness that we need to desire, that innocence. And unfortunately, the world takes that away from us from time to time. But we're called to be pure in heart. And the Bible says when we're pure in heart, we'll see God. And we see through the scriptures, there are people who encountered God face to face, who encountered him in his presence, the pre-incarnate Jesus. We see this happening, that we can see God face to face in the spirit realm. Because we're pure in heart. We're called to pure in heart. And then it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, there are people who keep peace, and that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about peacemakers. And Jesus never promised us peace in this world, although people teach that. You know, the birth story with Jesus coming, it talks about the peace will be with us and all that. It's talking about peace with God. It's talking about peace with God. See, all mankind is at enmity with God, is at warfare with God, is fighting against God. And that's the battle Jesus talks about when he talks about peace. He's saying, I have come to bring peace. And that is when you trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation, you enter into a peace with God. The war is over between you and the Father. We're the ones that have been at war with him. He makes us rest at peace with him, right? We are now at peace with him, but only through Jesus Christ. It's not talking about peace around the world. We can see the world falling apart. There's craziness taking place. One of the things we see immediately is Ukraine, of course, and Israel. Those are the two highlights. But what we don't see is Sudan. Where is that in the news? Thousands of people in Sudan are being slaughtered, right? Genocide, slaughtered. When do we see? We don't see people protesting that. We see people gluing their hands to the street protesting Israel in our own capital of our country. Where are the people gluing their hands to the street for the poor folks in Sudan who are being slaughtered, and the Christians who are being martyred in Nigeria as we speak? Right? Where do we see those protests? So Jesus didn't promise us. Matter of fact, he said wars will increase toward the end times, wars and rumors of wars. So he's talking about being peacemakers. So what does that mean for us? I think it means that we're supposed to take 2 Corinthians chapter 5 seriously, where we're called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're reconciling people to God. God has not made a mistake. He's not done anything wrong. We've done things wrong. We have to go to people and reconcile them to God and say, look, God's not mad. He loves you. Please come home. God's not angry. He's not mad at you. He wants you. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Please come home. That's the gospel of reconciliation. That's what peacemakers do. We bring people to Jesus, and they have peace in their heart. Amen? That's our task. That's our job. And we need to be doing more and more of that as we see the day coming. And then the last beatitude, it kind of takes two verses here, but it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, because you have a right relationship with God, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because you have a right relationship with God. Have you ever been persecuted for being a Christian? I've been chided before in my day, but I've never had a sword stuck to my throat or gun pointed to my head and said, you know, give up Christ and live. I haven't been that persecuted. There are people around the world who are being persecuted just like that as we speak. But blessed are those who are persecuted because of the right relationship they have with the Father, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on to amplify this. He says, but blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Not just persecute you physically and hurt you, but insult you. They use their words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You've heard that saying. Words do hurt. And Jesus said, you're blessed. You're blessed if people are insulting you. So the next time somebody insults you for the name of Christ, get in your car and shout hallelujah. Sing a song. That's fantastic. I've been insulted, right? I'm blessed. God is blessed. I'm insulted. God has blessed me. We look at it as a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to stand up for Jesus and take the insult. Persecute and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Look what Jesus said. Rejoice and be glad. We're to rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted for standing up for Jesus. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before you, they also persecuted Jesus. And he said, rejoice and be glad. So the next time somebody insults you for being a Christian, get on your phone, right? Call your best friend and say, man, you wouldn't happen. You wouldn't believe what just happened, man. I just got insulted for the name of Jesus. Let's go out and have a pizza. Celebrate. Rejoice is what Jesus is saying. Be glad. Because that means somebody saw the Christ in you enough to be offended by the Christ in you. Because it's the Christ in you they're offended by. It's not you. You need to get that straight in your head. It's the Christ in you that offends people. It's the truth in you that offends people. You find somebody that's a true prophet today that walks into a room, and everybody looks at him and goes, I don't want to walk over by him. I don't want to be near him. Why? Because they sense God is in him, and God is seeing and showing him things about you that you don't want to get exposed, right? I'm going to go to this corner. Person with discernment, it's the same way. You walk in a room, a person has spiritual discernment, you're like, I'm just going to go on the other side of the room. Yeah, because they may be seeing what I'm doing in private. Well, when Jesus starts to appear in you and through you, the forces of evil, the antichrist that's in the world, antichrist plural, that's in the world, people who are against Christ, are going to be offended by the Christ in you. Just get used to it. That's normal Christianity, is to have Christ manifested in you and people see it and those who are antichrist be offended by it. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. It just means more and more of Jesus is coming out in you. And then he gives two examples to sum it up. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So he gives us these beatitudes, eight of them. He says, this is how it's going to be. Get used to it. Learn how to live in this new life in Christ. And then he says, you're salt and light. And so salt refers to this moral aspect of who we are. We live morally in this world. Where light refers to the spiritual aspect of who we are. Right? We're connected with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So light represents that. Salt represents how we operate this way in this world. Right? Salt talks about our character. Where light talks about our conduct. Salt talks about our character. Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we crucifying ourselves more and more every day and taking up his cross and following him every day? Or are we acting more like the world and being selfish and prideful? Right? That's the salt in us. The conduct is how we move in this life, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The salt talks about what a person is. The light talks about what a person does. Salt talks about what a person is, our character, our nature. Where the light represents what a person does. We bring light to darkness. We dispel darkness by the light that is within us. And the light is Jesus Christ, of course. When I think about this word blessed, we use the word blessed. We don't use it a lot in our normal vocabulary. Happy is another translation of it, which back in the day was a good translation. For us today, happy means so many other things. It's this nebulous term out here. I'm happy because I got a new iPhone. Or I'm unhappy because I didn't get a new iPhone. Right? We attach happiness to things we have. The word that resonates with me the best between blessed and happy would be the word contentment. Content are the poor in spirit. Right? We're content in Christ. I think that's a better word for us in this day and time than happy or blessed. I'm content. I'm content to mourn, to be meek. I'm content to hunger. And so I want to call us to this place of contentment as we wait on our Lord Jesus Christ to come back and get us. It's for us to live this life of contentment, to find a place of contentment. I don't need more of this and this and this. I just need to be content. I need to be salt. I need to be light and content with what that is in my life today and tomorrow and the next day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I ask and invite you, Father, to show us what contentment means for each one of us. Let's be content, Father, in being salt and light in this world and not strive for the things the world says are important, but but strive for that right relationship with you. So help us, Father, to do that. And Jesus, thank you for showing us how to have that contentment. You demonstrated it above all as you lived your life in front of us. Thank you, Jesus, for being fully God and fully man in front of us so that we can read and study and learn and know what that looks like. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. So come now and teach us, comfort us, counsel us, help us, heal us, direct us. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.